classes for the last 9 years, but prior to that, I was a registered dietitian specializing in weight and diabetes management. So when I changed professions, I had to learn a whole new language. I went from using words like carbohydrate, calories, and insulin to words such as stud, square, and where did I put my tape measure on a daily basis? I'll be honest, there are lots of challenges being a female in a male-dominated industry. It's been hard to earn the respect of some of the subcontractors I work with, but I find that if I can speak the lingo, I'm taken a little more seriously and feel less intimidated when explaining what I'm wanting to do on a job. Now I'll admit, I still have a lot to learn, but I thought I would share with you some of the terms I've picked up over the years to help me communicate in the construction world. Today we are at one of my latest job sites where demolition has recently been completed, or what we in the biz like to call demo, so I thought I'd walk you around and point out a few things. Starting outside. Some terms simply have to do with the official names of the parts of a house. For example, I've learned the official names of the parts of the overhang portion of the roof are the fascia and the soffit. The soffit is the part underneath the overhang, and the fascia is the trim piece that covers the ends of the rafters where gutters are often placed. Some construction terms have to do with the building or repairing process. Notice this old brick has lost a lot of mortar, and many of the bricks have become loose. The process of cleaning out and adding new mortar is called repointing. Speaking of brick, here's a funny story that illustrates the importance of knowing the construction language. Now remember, I told you I was a dietitian before I became a contractor. So the first time I worked on a brick home and wanted to change an exterior door and some of the window openings, the masonry sub told me to make sure to have some lentils on hand when he came to brick around the new openings. Well, in the nutrition world, lentils are a great source of fiber and protein. So I thought he was making a joke that he was going to need a lot of energy to make this new opening. So I laughed and told him I'd be prepared. Boy, did I feel silly when he showed back up ready to work and asked for his lentils, and I didn't have them. That's when he explained to me that a lintel was a beam that's placed over an opening to help hold the load above. You can see the metal lintel right here. Okay, let's go inside. I think most of you know that studs are the 2x4s that make up the majority of the wall framing. But let me introduce you to some other common terms used in framing. This right here is called a header, and it forms the framing above all openings like doors and windows to help carry the load above. The stud that's placed directly adjacent to the header is called the king stud, whereas the stud that's directly underneath the header is called the jack stud. And then the short studs you find below a window or sometimes above a door are called cripples. You see what I mean? It's a whole different language, and that's just with framing. I can't even begin to explain the jargon my plumbers and electricians use. I truly don't understand half of what they're talking about most of the time. I just smile and nod and hope I'm not agreeing to something that will flood or burn down my house. Not only do my deficiencies in the construction language make me feel intimidated around the men I work with, I also worry my clients will have less confidence in me to get the job done. I fear they will think less of my abilities if I can't talk the talk, despite the evidence of my competence from past projects. As Christians, we too have our own special language. We have words we use and hear so often on Sunday that we assume everyone knows and understands what we're talking about. But to an outsider, it can sound like a foreign language. The very words that Christians use to represent Christ's sacrifice that ultimately welcomed us all to his eternal family can make an outsider feel intimidated, or worse, like they don't belong. Let's take a few minutes to simply define some of the most popular words in the Christian language. Let's start with the gospel. The word gospel means good news. And that good news is the plan Jesus put into place that offers all that believe in him the gift of eternal life. You can read all about that plan in the first 4 books of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, commonly referred to as the Gospels, and for good reason. Jesus' gospel, or good news, offers us salvation. Salvation is the act of saving or rescuing. But what are we being rescued from? When Christians speak of salvation, they are referring to being saved from the consequences of sin, which is death, ultimate separation from God, and God's righteous judgment. Sin is anything we do that is against God. The incredibly good news about Jesus' plan for our salvation is that it's completely free. We can do nothing to earn it. It's a free gift purchased by the death of Jesus on the cross and given to us by His grace and mercy for all those that believe and trust in Him. Oh, I just dropped two more Christian words that can be a little confusing. Grace and mercy. So grace is defined as undeserved favor or receiving something you don't deserve or didn't earn. We receive the gift of salvation even though we don't deserve it and can't earn it. Mercy, on the other hand, is withholding punishment that we justly deserve. The Bible tells us that we all sin, and sin must be punished or atoned for to be in right standing with God. But Jesus' salvation plan took on that punishment for our sins so we can stand blameless before God. Another word often heard in Christian circles is repentance. Repentance is our response to Christ's beautiful, undeserved gift of forgiveness and salvation. It means to turn from our old ways of sin and to a life that is obedient and honoring to God. And lastly, I'll leave you with the word propitiation. Honestly, I have no idea what this Christian term means. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to be fluent in the Christian language to be completely loved and accepted by Jesus Christ. So what do we do when we don't know what something means? Just like in my construction business, I don't want to just assume or pretend I know. Instead, I ask someone what that means, or I take the time to look it up for myself. This is how we gain knowledge and understanding, and how we grow in our professional life and our spiritual life, too.